Courtesy Freaks and Geeks, what's up? You're listening to the NFL Fantasy Live Podcast. I'm your host, James Coe. Got a full house today. Man, we got a big time show. Got a couple of guests here. We're going to have Lance Zierlein later in the program talking about the draft. We also have the great Chris Wessling in the house. What's up, man?
Thanks for having me, James.
I feel like once we got Adam Rank on the podcast, beautiful things started happening. Started to get some guests here.
And more bald men as well with Chris and Adam Rank.
The balds now are running the joint.
Rank is the first domino. He's like the Tony Romo of the quarterback market.
Yeah. So we got rid of the Mats who have like gorgeous heads of hair.
That's a very good point.
And then it's like, oh yeah, here come Adam and Chris.
You know what? That is really funny. We get rid of the Mats. We bring in Adam Rank and Chris Wessling.
Now you have the anti-hit.
Clearly, yeah. It's not like it's a system quarterback. You just can go find two other dudes with great heads of hair. Like, we're going completely different. Not only am I breaking up with her, I'm dating a girl who's never like her.
That's great. I love it. Marcus Grant in the house. What's up?
I'm glad to be back after a harrowing drive down from the mountains in the Sierra Nevadas over the weekend.
Okay, what does that mean?
I was up in Lake Tahoe for the weekend, which was great. Okay. But as someone
beautiful snow, I'm sure.
As someone who does not do winter, I was wintering and driving down out of the mountain. I learned how to put chains on my tires.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
All that.
So you're beautiful. A man.
I believe so. I can change the tires. I can change the oil in my car.
Oh,
I feel like
that's it. You're
I can
set.
I can tie a bow tie. Like I feel like I've
listen, brother.
I'm well down the road of manhood.
When the apocalypse comes, I'm hanging out with you, brother. I like it. Alice Gilhar, the whiz kid from Wisconsin, what's cracking?
Now excited to be here. I think I was going to joke off the top. I think this is one of the first times in a while where you always start with we have a big show.
Yeah.
We actually have a big show. We have multiple guests, lots of topics. It's not just false praise. We got a big show. We're going to talk about some stuff, and that's it.
That's generally how I open the show. We have a big show, and we're going to talk about some stuff, which totally undersells, undercuts my...
But this is a big show.
No, this is actually a big show. We've got Chris Wessling here. Why? Because he wrote a great piece about Tony Romo and potential landing spots for him. He also has an interesting hypothesis on Jay Cutler. Possibly going to gangrene. We'll get his thoughts there. We also have, again, the great Lance Zierlein. We're going to get a phone call from him a little later in the program. He's going to be previewing the combine. We're breaking up the combine. The combine's so huge now that we got to break it up into two parts. Today, it's part one. We will be talking about running backs. We're going to be talking about all of the great running backs that are potentially in this draft. It's maybe one of the deepest running back drafts in recent memory. And I can't wait to talk about it. I cannot wait to talk about it. It's going to be great. We're going to make a call into the wild as well. We'll get the great franchise on the phone, hopefully. If not,
hopefully.
Hopefully. We don't plan this thing.
Pants level to be determined.
Pants level to be? And if we don't get him, we'll try the other Matt and get his take. He's doing some great work on the combine as well. But today is a combine theme. But as always, we start your show with your top headlines.
The camera highlights in the world of sports.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Whistles go woo!
I like turtles.
We continue to follow breaking news.
I watch the news because I'm a kid.
So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife.
We shall start and end in the state of Florida. Julius Thomas traded away by the Jags on Monday, staying in Florida, going to Miami. The Jags, in return, got a 7th-round draft pick back, so basically nothing. Thomas is turning 29. He's going to be, I think, quite honestly, in a pretty good situation, really, there in the MIA. He gets reunited with Adam Gase from his Denver days. And Miami's pretty much bereft of any star talent at tight end. Adam Rank, I'll throw it to you. Any reason to get excited about this move from a fantasy perspective?
Not especially.
Okay.
I mean, listen, there's not a lot of...
Here comes the cold water.
No. It's not cold water, but I think that the tight end position is something that you just kind of stream.
Okay.
Unless you're really investing a top, picking a tight end. I usually end up streaming these guys, and Julius Thomas is always somebody who'll bounce around every once in a while, have a great matchup and disappoint you, then you'll hate him. And then, you go on with your life.
Oh, okay.
You're saying, like, why didn't I just draft... Rob Gronkowski or something.
Why didn't I draft Rob Gronkowski? Okay, listen. This
I don't know. What do we expect? I mean, like...
I don't know. I'm asking you. What are you expecting here?
I know this is... we're going, you know, narrative street.
Yes.
It's like two teams... Like, all these teams are giving up on him. Like, why should I embrace him?
Well, only one team gave up on him. I mean, he left Denver as a free agent, no?
they let him go. I mean, they didn't bring him back.
All right, Alex Yoho, the tight end position has been an absolute train wreck, as we saw in 2016. I know. Look, I'm not saying that he's going to get, you know, drafted in the top 10 rounds. I get that part. But is this another name now in what is a relative shallow pool of tight ends from the fantasy from a fantasy perspective?
I mean, he could be a guy that you draft super late and then or look to stream off the waiver wire. The red zone, and like especially near the 10-yard line, wasn't a particularly strong point for Miami, especially in the passing game. Devontae Parker only had 4 targets inside the 10 last year. Jarvis Landry only had 2.
Right.
You know, Deion Sims was getting rotated in there at tight end because Jordan Cameron was injured. Deion Sims a free agent. So, if anything, he could be a touchdown-dependent fantasy guy, which, given how the position is, we saw people have a lot of success with people like Cameron Brate last year, who were touchdown-dependent guys. So, he could have some value. We'll just have to kind of wait and see how it all shakes out with what Gase wants to do with him down there.
I can't believe I'm the only person that's reasonably excited. Well, I'm reasonably excited.
I don't know. Don't let him become this year's Kobe Flaner.
Oh, come on.
Where you talk yourself like, this is a great situation. I can't wait to see what happens. I mean, it's fine.
Okay.
Wes, do you want to share your takes? I know you had some good ones on the ATN pod, which I listened to this morning, which everybody should download, by the way.
Thank you. We all know by now that injuries are inherently unpredictable, yet every single one of us has players we won't touch because we are assured they're going to be injured. Julius Thomas is always injured. And you throw in the fact that he was lumbering the last 2 years. He looked overweight. He didn't look streamlined like he did in Denver.
Right.
And it's hard for me to get excited about a guy who's always injured and doesn't look as good as he did the past few years.
Lumbering. That's a very kind way of putting it.
But you do have to wonder, and you know, I'm always hesitant to go with the, you know, player X was made by quarterback Y scenario. But
I see.
But you do wonder how much working with Peyton Manning, and not even necessarily having Peyton Manning throw him the football, but understanding the kind of work ethic Peyton Manning demands of his quarterbacks. Blake Bortles isn't that guy.
No,
Bortles is not going to demand that you're out in the offseason, that you're working.
He might demand that you go out to happy hour with him, though.
Perhaps. but you're not going to get that same level of demand out of a guy like Blake Bortles. And I wonder if you can expect that out of Ryan Tannehill. I don't know. I would suspect he falls kind of somewhere in between Blake Bortles and Peyton Manning.
So Blake Bortles is like Bobby Lane when he says, drink, you drink.
You drink. Yeah, exactly.
There you go. All right, Chris. We'll go to your to your column here. Oh, by the way, Chris Wessling, for those of you who only listen to the fantasy podcast, hey, listen, what are you guys doing? Listen to the Around the NFL podcast as well. World famous ATN writer and podcaster Chris Wessling, also possibly the world's greatest cornhole player as well, from what I understand.
He's certainly up there.
From what I understand, Chris Wessling, a hell of a cornhole player. I have yet to see it. Witness it myself in person, so we shall see. Chris Wessling, you wrote a great piece detailing 6 potential landing spots for Tony Romo. If I can paraphrase, you said Houston, Denver, KC, no, because Alex Smith, Buffalo, Chicago, no, and no, because both are trash, and Arizona, no, because Carson Palmer is back there as well. So really, it comes down to Houston and Denver. How realistic are those scenarios for Tony Romo?
Well, I think those two have to be considered the heaviest favorites, and in both cases, it makes a lot more sense if and when he gets released. I think if there's going to be a trade, it would have to be somebody leapfrogging Houston and Dallas and coming basically out of the blue as a surprise team like the Jets did with Brett Favre back in 2008, I believe.
Mm-hmm. What would these two teams give up to go get a piece like Tony Romo?
I don't think they would. I think the Texans are so strapped against the cap that it would have to be a release, and then Tony Romo accepting a very team-friendly deal.
Ooh, wow.
The Texans saying, hey, look, what's your priority? You're 37 years old. You're a hit away from retirement. Do you want to win a championship, or do you want to go to Buffalo? And I think that's the Texans' leverage, you know, and the Broncos are kind of the same way. Word has leaked that if he gets released, they'll consider him above Simeon and Paxton Lynch. But they're not going to trade for him. They don't want to take on that salary. John Elway is now used to not paying a quarterback a lot of money.
True.
And I think he likes that. And I think if you watch the Broncos last year, how is Romo going to survive behind one of the worst offensive lines in football?
Likelihood something like that actually does get done, where he signs one of these veteran, you know, team-friendly deals to go to Houston or Denver. And you think about the landing spot, too. Both of those teams, when healthy, have elite defenses, something that should help something like Tony Romo, because, you know, he could hand the ball off quite often, and he's also working with head coaches that are also friendly from the offensive side.
Yeah, I think you have to – I know the answer to all your questions in sports is money, but I think in Romo's case you have to make an exception. He's made a lot of money. The only reason for him to keep playing at this point in time is to win a Lombardi Trophy. I think that's his primary motivation. So in those situations, I think Houston and Denver – make the most sense, and I have a hard time making any sense out of the other teams on the list.
Now, you're not buying any of this talk about him potentially going to Washington or anything, right? There's no way Jerry lets that happen.
I would think if he releases Romo, it's doing Romo a favor, and it'd have to be with a wink and a nod that you are not going to go and play for an NFC East team.
Right.
Mm. Right.
All right.
What about Kansas City?
I just see that as it's too risky. If you've got 4 years invested in Alex Smith and Andy Reid's offense, they have the best record in the NFL since midpoint of 2015. You're going to give up, you're going to risk alienating Alex Smith or dumping him altogether for a quarterback who can't stay healthy. I like the idea of upgrading Alex Smith and saying, hey, look, this guy has taken us as far as he can. I just don't know if you're going to – that's a very high risk to do it with Romo.
I think you're right. There's just too many risk factors there because Smith has been successful in that team. Romo is one hit away from being done. And they could basically go from having a good quarterback to having, like, no quarterback then in an instant.
If Andy Reid went out and said, you know what, I identify Jimmy Garoppolo as a guy who's better than Alex Smith. This guy can take me to the promised land. I see that as an acceptable risk. I don't see Tony Romo at this age with his injury history as an acceptable risk when Alex Smith gives you a really high floor.
Does he have anything left, Tony Romo?
That remains to be seen. Yeah. I have a feeling he can still play. To me, the injuries are the question. But we saw him play one series last year. He looked pretty good. Guys who practiced with him said he looked like 2014 Romo. So that's about all we can go on. Because change does happen quickly in the NFL. The last time we saw Tony Romo playing a full season, Peyton Manning was throwing for 39 touchdowns. I mean, it's been a long time since we've seen Romo.
All right, very good point.
And that's all logical, and you tried to bring that up to another guy, well-known. So the question begs, do you and Peter King have legit heat? Is this was a little battle you guys
did
had on Twitter.
This was
on Twitter.
Oh, my.
I have a feeling Peter King does not know that we've had legitimate heat for 10 years now.
I love it. I absolutely love it. MG, from a fantasy perspective, if Tony Romo does end up in Houston or Denver, I guess which would you prefer to see?
That's a good call. I think I would probably prefer to see him in Denver. It would be nice to see what he does with Sanders and Thomas there. I would like to see them with a quarterback that opens up that running game a little bit as well. Maybe because we're from the same hometown, I'm leaning towards C.J. Anderson over Lamar Miller. I think C.J. Anderson, honestly, is a slightly better running back than Lamar Miller as well. So I think it's a coin flip. I think he could be successful in both, but I think for my own purposes, I prefer to see him playing with the Broncos.
I like him in Houston, though, because DeAndre Hopkins, they're playing in a dome at least 9 games.
That would help.
I would have to check their schedule. I don't know if they have any more than their 8 homies in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so it's like a good – and I think that division's better than a lot of people give it credit for. I think the AFC South is on the upswing. But still, 9 dome games, DeAndre Hopkins, I'll take that.
Sign me up.
I think you would find out that the Texans go from being the most underutilized skill position players to being utilized correctly. You could not pick a quarterback who fit DeAndre Hopkins' skill set worse than Brock Osweiler.
Oh, yeah.
They ended up – they've got a blazing fast rookie who has 100 yards in his first 2 games of his NFL career in DeAndre Hopkins, and by midseason they have to make the concession that they're building their offense around their slow tight ends because Osweiler can't throw outside the numbers and down the field. Yeah. And I think you'd find that Romo really makes that offense blossom.
Yeah, that's interesting. I like it. I like the Houston call as well, just because the offensive skill players are a little bit younger. Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas, obviously great players, great wide receivers, but they're also getting up there a little bit in age. Chris, you also talked about Jay Cutler. According to multiple reports, Jay Cutler being actively shopped around by Chicago. Look, it probably won't happen. He's not going to get traded. Chicago's going to probably release him. But, Wes, you had a very interesting hypothesis. Talk to us about why he may end up with New York in terms of the Jets.
And the corollary is, did you run this past Dan Hanses first?
Well, Dan Hanses, and from my very unscientific Twitter poll, every Jets fan despises the notion that Jay Cutler could end up there. And every fan of every other team is cackling with glee at the notion that Cutler could be leading the Jets. I think in his case, he has burned so many bridges between teammates and former coaches many of whom he's gotten fired, that you have to look for situations where he has a good relationship with the coach. And Jeremy Bates, the new Jets quarterbacks coach, was the quarterbacks coach when Cutler was in Denver, and for a year or two was the quarterbacks coach in Chicago with Cutler. And everything you read about the two of them is that they really like each other. Cutler and Bates are a mutual admiration society, and that's that's a rare case for Jay Cutler.
And then you talk about the skill position players there, too. That could be – I mean, obviously, a lot could happen in terms of the veterans being cut or whatever it is. But if everyone comes back, you know, again, you mentioned his former teammates.
Well, Matt Forte and Brandon Marshall, and I think it's probably debatable at this point whether Brandon Marshall even wants to play with Jay Cutler. There have been quite a few things said behind each other's backs since they separated. It's hard to keep up with their relationship. At one point, they really liked each other and defended each other, and now they seem to be sniping at each other.
And maybe third time's a charm. Who knows?
That could be like a detriment. Maybe Brandon Marshall refuses to play with Jay Cutler. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean,
Forte's there, too.
The recent history of Brandon Marshall suggests that whoever they sign is going to be his quarterback. I mean, remember, he loved Geno Smith at first.
Moved and then with him.
Right. Then they bring in Ryan Fitzpatrick, and then that was his guy. So who knows? Maybe if they sign Jay Cutler, Jay will be his guy now.
I think it's just hard to find a landing spot for Jay Cutler. I don't think anyone really wants him as their franchise quarterback. It's more like, I guess we'll settle for this guy because we just don't have anything better.
What's the likelihood that he plays in 2017? I mean, I would imagine it's pretty strong, but I don't know. I guess kind of reading the tea leaves out there, as you mentioned, he had burned so many bridges. I think it's a very strong possibility he doesn't play in 2017.
It's a fair question.
He's not on a team?
I just don't think he's going to play. I mean, maybe I doubt that he would sign a backup deal, but let's say he does. I mean, he's a more than capable backup. But if he decides not to be a backup, his career might just be over.
He's also coming off labrum surgery to his throwing shoulder, which is not a small surgery.
Right. No, it is not. So there you go. Chris Wessling, you can find him on Around the NFL. You can find him on NFL.com. Find all of his great work there.
NFL.com/Wessling.
There you go.
At Chris Wessling on Twitter.
He's a great follow. Get some great information.
Look for the Rodney Dangerfield.
Yes. Anything else you want to plug or shout out, Wes, while you're here? I mean, we don't quite have the following you guys do, but
plugs. I just appreciate the opportunity to sit in with you guys.
A little cross podcast love. Chris Wessling.
Shadowy League figures will be so happy.
From Around the NFL. Chris, thanks for joining us, man.
Thank you, guys.
All right, so that was the great Chris Wessling. We go from Chris to another great writer for NFL.com and an absolute beast when it comes to the NFL draft. We go on the horn to Lance Zierlein.
Pleased now to be joined on the phone by Lance Zierlein, NFL media's analyst, one of our scout specialists, our combine guru, if you will. Lance, how you doing today? Good to talk to you.
I'm doing good. It's good to be here.
Well, we are closing down on the start of the combine. I know you have been hard at work studying a ton of guys. Alex and I know that especially because
yes.
We've had the good pleasure to read a lot of them.
The profile master over there. A few people have been grinding as much tape as Lance these days. So,
But want to start, because we want to talk some running backs with you today. And I feel like, you know, got to start at the top. The top two names that we're hearing a lot of are Leonard Fournette, Dalvin Cook. And I feel like just kind of following along on draft Twitter and the like, the consensus over who's the number one there is split. For your money, who do you have as the number one and why?
Well, I'm going to go Leonard Fournette, and I think Dalvin Cook's the better runner, to be honest with you. I mean, I think if you want to just put on tape, the more complete running back is Cook. The better, the more skilled running back is Cook, but I've got a higher grade on Fournette, and that's because, I mean, we're talking about elite size and speed, and I know that word is thrown out a lot, but I don't throw it out lightly. And when I say elite size and speed, I'm saying Bo Jackson, Herschel Walker, I guess you could say Eric Dickerson, really, because he's bigger than people think, and he was definitely fast. And then Adrian Peterson. And I think, you know, we're talking about a very select group of running backs there and span a few different decades. And Leonard Fournette falls into that group. He's got a burst and an acceleration that is almost, you know, unheard of for a back his size, other than Adrian Peterson. That's the only other guy that I can think of. And he's a little bit bigger than Peterson is, too. So his ability to create through power and to create through speed is absolutely unbelievable. He's big enough to handle a heavy workload. He played on an ankle issue that hindered him this year. And he was so competitive that when LSU and Florida got into a pregame scrap, he wasn't supposed to play. He went and got his uniform on and said, "Screw that, I'm going to play." And while I love that, it didn't help him health wise. It wasn't a smart idea, but it gives you an idea of, you know, what kind of team guy he is and what kind of competitor he is. So I just think physically, and you know what, I got to also say Dalvin Cook has had some issues with a shoulder that concerns me just a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I would say based on all of that information, I think that the physical traits and the ability to hit home runs when he gets in the open field combined with his size, and I think he's going to be a better pass catcher than some people will probably think based on the LSU offense not really taking advantage of it. I'm going to make him my top running back, and that would go for fantasy football as well.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that because a lot of the top guys in fantasy nowadays are catching passes as well. David Johnson, yeah. Le'Veon Bell, even, you know, Zeke didn't have as many as they did in his rookie year, but he still caught 32 passes for 363 yards, which is nothing to turn your nose up at. So that was going to be something I was going to ask you from Fournette, if you think he had that to take him to the next level, because if he's just predominantly, you know, but between the tackles, carry grinder, that might limit his fantasy ceiling.
Yeah, no, and that's a good point. And obviously, you have to wait and see. Look, he can catch the football. Now, you have to wait and see where these guys fit. We can't project their numbers until you see who they're with, the team, the offensive line, the scheme. So it's possible if he goes to a team with a good third down back on it, then that's obviously going to play into where I would project Leonard Fournette and what his numbers would be. Dalvin Cook can catch a football. There's no question. He can also hit home runs. Alvin Kamara, Christian McCaffrey, these guys are both three-down players who have the ability to light it up in PPR leagues as well if they get in the right situations. And, you know, frankly, Joe Mixon is that guy. Joe Mixon has off-the-field character concerns, and we'll see if he's even drafted, but I, you know, just speaking purely from a fantasy football standpoint, he's as close as you're going to find to David Johnson in this draft. I mean, he's really talented catching a football. So, you know, Mixon is kind of the outlier because you're not sure what's going to happen with his draft stock from a talent standpoint. It's definitely there, but Kamara, Cook, and McCaffrey all have the opportunity to catch the football. The question will be, with Leonard Fournette, you know, and like with Adrian Peterson, I mean, Adrian could get you 30 catches plus in a season. It depended how often the Vikings wanted to use him on that particular year. Mm-hmm. I think the same thing could be true with Fournette. If a team wants to use him out of the backfield, I think he can handle that.
Now, you mentioned Christian McCaffrey, who is a name that I find intriguing simply because seeing his body of work at Stanford and seeing how much of that offense he took upon himself. I mean, running it, catching it, even running back kicks and the like. Do you see all of that transferring to the NFL? I know there's still some questions about whether, you know, people believe in him altogether.
Yeah, I do see it translating. Now, from a fantasy standpoint, unless you're in just very particular leagues, his punt return and kick return is not going to give you value on an individual basis unless you're in a pretty hardcore league. But from a pass catching standpoint, he's absolutely, you know, he can Danny Woodhead you. He can spread out and he can go run routes and get open through routes. He can come out of the backfield. I think he's big enough. You know, he's not a big running back, but he's big enough that he can. And my guess is he'll measure in around. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what he wants to carry at the combine because he's going to have to weigh. And he needs to weigh around 210 plus pounds. Mm-hmm. The problem is, if he thinks that's going to hinder his speed. I just think he needs to run in the low 4.5s. I think that's what he is, and I think he'll run it, and I think that'll be fine. I think it'd be a mistake to try to keep the weight down so he can run faster, because he's not getting drafted on speed. He's going to get drafted on where his weight is. But, you know, he is a guy that, that can end up being a very, very fast. He could be very quick to start posting PPR numbers.
Mm-hmm.
If he gets in the right scheme,
do you think maybe what are we thinking? Maybe like not quite a Reggie Bush rookie year kind of thing, where he had, what did he have, 80, 90 catches that rookie year, but in the right fit, you think he could post really solid numbers? I think, what did Gio Bernard have, like 50 his rookie year?
Who's that?
Giovanni Bernard.
I think he could be Bernard. Yeah, I think he could be Gio Bernard, and there's some similarities to Gio Bernard's game. Gio's just a very twitchy, you know, hyper-athletic guy, though, very explosive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I think he's more a Tiki Barber as a back,
okay.
Christian McCaffrey. But, you know, once again, if he gets on the right team, I think he's a good fit for his own scheme team. If he gets that opportunity, he might be a very interesting, I mean, it's not going to happen where he would go with Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco, because they've got Carlos Hyde, and they've got mm-hmm. too many other needs to be messing with a back who has some, you know, flexibility. But yeah, in the right scheme, if he's in the right fit, this is a guy who will shoot up the boards from a draft, from a fantasy standpoint. Because if he gets with a team like, I don't know, maybe Philadelphia, you know, that's a little bit unsettled over there. He gets with a team like that, with a young quarterback, and they say, we want to protect our quarterback a little bit, all of a sudden you got dump down passes. You know who he could end up being is like Dominic Davis, a.k.a. Dominic, changed his name to Dominic Williams, who was with the Texans back in the mid-2000s, who ended up catching a ton of passes with the young David Carr.
Yeah, I remember Dominic Williams.
Yeah, so that's one of the guys that, you know, that I think that he could end up becoming is a quick 900, 1,000-yard rookie back with about 51 catches if he gets with the right team. So, for me, McCaffrey and Kamara are big wild cards based on where they go.
Mm-hmm.
You were a guy who was big on Jordan Howard last year, and obviously he had a very good rookie year with the Bears. Is there anybody you see this year who maybe is kind of an under-the-radar player?
Well, I had Thomas Rawls the year before and Jordan Howard and this last year.
Wow, so look at you. Pat yourself on the back there, Lance,
yeah,
with two of the
go,
big
me.
Sleepers.
Yeah, well, guess what? Everyone's looking for, like, who's the next one? I'm like, let's see. And so if I'm trying to find a sleeper, I think there are two guys I would point to. One is at Boise State, Jeremy McNichols. He's about 5'9", 212 pounds. He's really solid at everything. He's a good, solid back. He's not going to be fast, but he is quick. He's got great balance. I really like him. I think Daniel Jeremiah and I were talking about him yesterday on the phone. We both like this guy's ability. I think he is a third-round pick in all likelihood. He's 5.08 6. He's right around 5.9. He was verified at 212 this spring. That's big enough. When you see him, he's well-built. He can catch mm-hmm. the ball as well. So he would be one guy that I would say. And then there's another one. My super sleeper is a guy who I just found yesterday. Is a guy named Rochelle Shell, who is the running back from West Virginia. He's about 5'10", 230 pounds. He was a five-star back coming out of the same draft class or the same recruiting class with Leonard Fournette. Went to Pitt, transferred away from Pitt. He was a little bit immature and thought he was, you know, maybe a little better than he actually was. He said he's been humbled. You know, he doesn't have a tremendous amount of production, but when you turn a tape on, all of a sudden, I see the shifty feet. I see the size. I see power. I see loose hips to be able to elude people. I see, frankly, a better athlete than Jordan Howard is. But Howard had just phenomenal vision.
All right.
And, you know, so, I mean, this guy has everything physically, and it shouldn't be a surprise considering how highly regarded he was out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just telling you, he's way under the radar. Anywhere you look, you're going to see him as an undrafted player. But I've got a grade that is put it this way. My grade on him is higher than Corey Clement from Wisconsin,
wow.
James Conner from Pitt, Brian Hill from Wyoming. And that should give you an idea of
awesome
of how
well,
much
there we
I
go.
Like
thanks,
him.
Thanks for that little bit of breaking news there. I guess, and then I well, we should probably wrap this up pretty quick. But who do you think at the running back position needs a good combine performance to really help their draft slash fantasy stock? Because we've seen poor performances or injuries, you know, drop a lot of guys that otherwise might have had some early success.
Oh, that's a really good question. And for some guys, it's going to be what they weigh, how tall they are. You know, for some guys, it's going to be physical measurements are going to be very important. But if there's one guy in there, I'd say it's Deontay Foreman. Foreman, to me, needs to play lighter than he played this year. If he played in the 240s, I think he needs to show NFL teams that he was able to get down and keep his weight down. Is playing at a trim, maybe 230, maybe 228. Which should help his quickness. If he can run a good 40 time with 228 to 232 pounds on his frame and show that he can catch the ball on some of those drills, I think that really helps him. A lot of teams aren't sure he's going to be a blocker, that he's really committed as a blocker. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing he can do about that at the combine. But if he shows he has good hands, that he can catch the ball, and if he shows that he's dropped some weight and is fast and quick in some of his quickness drills and his 40 time, to me, he's a guy that could help his draft stock because he's kind of iffy on some teams' boards that I've spoken with.
All right. Well, there we have it. I guess that was – thanks, Lance, for all that help, and good luck wrapping up the rest of the prospects there.
And enjoy Indy.
Yeah, enjoy
yeah,
Indy.
I appreciate it. Yeah, we're about like 50 to 60 degrees this year. It beats the 1 degree from I think it was two. I don't know if it was last year or 2 years ago.
I think it would have been 2 years ago. I went to the combine once, and it was bitter cold, and I actually got locked in like the ticketing area outside Lucas Oil because I was there super late, and they had closed all the gates. So I had to pop a fence when it was like negative 10 degrees, and then stopped at a bar for a warmer upper.
You made it out.
And Lance, when a guy from Wisconsin is telling you that it's cold, it's pretty cold.
It was cold that day. I will admit that was cold.
I'm from Texas, so I've got a heavy coat ready for the 53.
Hey, Lance, appreciate the time, man. Take care.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All right, the great Lance Zierlein. All that great information, that draft information, that combine information. I absolutely love it. Thanks, Lance. All right, guys, let's talk about the combine here. Again, it's combine preview part uno. We got running backs. And, you know, it's funny because this year, you talk about the running back position. My God. It is an absolute treasure trove of talent here at the running back position. In terms of tiers, you know, we talk about tiers in fantasy. In the combine for the running backs, it seems as if everyone's kind of got this tier one running back, right? And it's Dalvin Cook, it's Leonard Fournette, it's some combination of that. And then everyone else seems to kind of fall in line outside of that. Adam Rank, we'll start with you.
Okay.
Lance Zierlein has Leonard Fournette number one, and he's made comparisons to Fournette to Bo Jackson, to Adrian Peterson, to some of the all-time greats. Your take on Leonard Fournette, who would you rather have, Dalvin Cook, Leonard Fournette?
Well, I mean, Cook's – he's had shoulder surgeries, which concerns me coming out
Three
of college. That's a big thing with me, although – the thing with Fournette, and I know a lot of people are going to be super hyper on him, and one of the problems I have is Darius Geis was amazing last year for LA. Like, he was like, okay, like, don't play. They had a running back who was just as good. Actually, if I'm not mistaken, I think his yards per carry was higher or something. Like, he was out there crushing it too, and you're like, okay. So I'm now going to look at Fournette a little bit differently, and I don't care that he skipped out on his bowl games and things like that.
Right.
But I think a lot of people just are so excited by what Ezekiel Elliott was able to do last year, and he was great. Then they just assume that, like, oh yeah, it's back. Like, running backs are going to come in and they're going to be automatically great again. And I'm just not sure that I'm there yet. I really have to wait and see the situation that he goes to. I see a lot of mock drafts that perhaps he could be going to Carolina. Like,
that'd
I like that.
Fit.
Like,
oh,
okay, yeah, I like that.
Holy hell,
in.
That'd be a great fit.
And I'm gonna. I hate to be the wait and see person. Not enough to keep me from doing it. But I want to wait and see. I'm gonna hold off on the comparisons.
All right.
I know there's a lot of guys. There's been a lot of running backs who have been super hyped.
Yeah.
Coming into the NFL over the last couple of years. So I want to see somebody who fits more of the NFL mold. And, of course, Cook certainly would be one of those backs if
Better pass catcher.
If he was if he wasn't coming off surgeries and everything like that. I don't want to jump ahead to the guy that I want to talk about too much, but I like Christian McCaffrey probably more than anybody.
Really?
I just feel like the way the NFL has evolved,
yeah,
what they ask NFL running backs to do, he fits all of that. He like checks all the boxes. Like what it reminds me of when Devontae Freeman
but
was coming.
But isn't he more of a system guy than Fournette? Or I mean, I could see Fournette or Cook fitting in almost anywhere, except for a few, you know, bad situations. But Christian McCaffrey to me seems like that guy that absolutely needs to hook up with a very good offensive coordinator.
Well, I think it's going to help that he goes, like, you don't want to go into a situation like Todd Gurley's in right now where you're an amazing running back, but you're stuck behind an awful offensive line with a coordinator who doesn't really know what he's doing, or a head coach that really shouldn't be an NFL head coach. And like I'm talking about last year's guy.
Like, if he goes to New England, forget it. Lights out.
Yeah. But I think that everybody is going to – when they see him, they're always going to – when they see McCaffrey, they're always going to be like, oh, Danny Woodhead. He's a Patriot because he's a white running back. And it's like, no, but that's okay. It's just the truth.
Fair enough.
But
trends, they have more white wide receivers than running backs.
That's right.
So come on.
I would – you know, I do think McCaffrey is more of a Swiss Army knife than somebody like Leonard Fournette. Now, Fournette is a sledgehammer, right? Oh. And
beast.
You know, he's that guy who you can put pretty much anywhere, give him the ball, let him run downhill, and then he's going to be fine. But I do think McCaffrey is definitely much more of a Swiss Army knife. And, you know, I hate to drop the Danny Woodhead comparison, but you put him in a place like San Diego and you pair him up with Melvin Gordon. I mean, I keep coming back to this. And I think I said it a couple weeks ago with Dalvin Cook, and I may have said it with somebody else. What we saw Kyle Shanahan do with Tevin Coleman last year made him into that guy who can do a little bit of everything. I think Christian McCaffrey has that ability. And like Rank said, the way the NFL is going, those guys have even more value. And I think the difference between McCaffrey and, say, Dalvin Cook, who I really like, is McCaffrey can do a lot of those same things, and his draft price is going to be a lot better for NFL teams.
That's a very good point. Just getting back to some of the raw numbers here.
I like that. I was thinking of Kyle Shanahan, and I know that they have Carlos Hyde there, but I think like McCaffrey could slip into the second round, and Kyle Shanahan could be like, I'm going to employ the same type of setup I had in Atlanta, and I have these two running backs. I know for fantasy, like everybody would be upset with that because you would be like, oh, I want him to be a featured back, but that doesn't happen
but
in the NFL.
I don't see that happening.
It's over. Like that.
Yeah.
So I want to throw out a couple teams while we're talking about McCaffrey that I think could be interesting for him, both with good offenses and skill position players around and situational need. First one off the top of my head, Colts.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Because Frank Gore is getting old. They don't have anybody else. You put somebody that can run between the tackles and also catch a ton of passes from Andrew Luck with T.Y. Hilton and Dante Moncrief on the outside. I like it. Now, this one's a little more off the grid, but I think there's certainly a need here with this team. What about with the Bengals?
Gio Bernard coming off of ACL.
You kind of get a best of both worlds with
Jeremy Hill
and Gio Bernard.
Interesting.
You merge those two together into Christian McCaffrey.
Okay.
That is interesting. I'd say the one
– I don't hate it.
The one thing that McCaffrey doesn't do well, and not that Jeremy Hill did it well, is kind of his between-the-tackle short yard. Like, he's willing to get in there and put his nose in there.
Yeah, he's not great.
He's not going to push the pile. He's not big enough.
Right, exactly.
You know, in terms of if no one's ever seen Christian McCaffrey play, 6 feet, 200 pounds, super, super versatile, was a great it's funny. You look at the size and you say, oh, well, he can't run between – not true. Not true. Really good runner between the tackles. Picked up a lot of chunk yardage, especially against Cal.
and he's one of those guys that between the tackles has such great short area quickness
and patience.
Visions and balance. Look, like, you'll watch him, like, three guys over. There's actually a play, I forget, I think it was like Ted Nguyen on Twitter tweeted out, but like there are three guys coming at McCaffrey, and he sees it all happening. Just puts a little stop and a move on him, and they all three collide, and he goes around him.
The thing with Christian McCaffrey. And I know this is going to sound crazy, but his patience behind the line is very, very reminiscent of Le'Veon Bell.
I knew you were going
to. I had another fun idea, not to totally derail that crazy comparison. What about New York, the Giants, for McCaffrey?
They're always
running three wides with one back, helping spread out the defense. He won't face as many stacked fronts. He can catch a lot of passes.
I just want there to be some semblance of stability in the Giants' backfield. That's all I ask.
I just don't want a guy like McCaffrey to get wasted or get stuck in a committee. So we're left with his three touchdown games and then his two catch four carry games.
I mean, he had 1,600 rush yards in 2016. People thought it was a disappointment. And in a way it was, because in 2015, his sophomore campaign, you know, he ran for 2,000 yards.
Mm-hmm.
He had 3,800 all-purpose yards in 2015. It was outrageous.
We should probably move along here, though. We just devoted quite a bit of time to McCaffrey. We
got
We got other guys on this list. I don't want to disrespect any of these guys.
Forget the
guys.
List.
By the way, Mike Mayock has his top five, and his top five running backs in order: Dalvin Cook, Leonard Fournette, Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara, and Joe Mixon. But Joe Mixon from Oklahoma, not invited to the combine, so who cares? All right, so also in Lance Erline's top ten, Deontay Foreman out of Texas. This is a big boy. Big boy, 6'1", 250.
And that's why Lance said on the call, he said Foreman's the guy that needs the combine the most, because he's a big back. He can carry the load. He can, you know, can catch the pass. He had over 2,000 yards.
Yeah, he did.
But, like, Lance was wondering and was, you know, hypothesizing what he's going to come in and what he's going to weigh at the combine, and if he's the same runner or if he runs better at that area.
323 carries, 2,028 yards, 6.3 average. Amazing.
Franchise was posting some highlights
of Deontay Foreman.
Yeah, on his Twitter feed, and he pulled out this great one. I think they were playing Texas Tech, where the dude the guy who's supposed to completely whiffs. Like, it was just a
total business decision.
Oh my gosh! Like, the guy, no, it was the blocker doesn't block at all.
Oh, I see.
And he gets taken down, and franchise had put the thing like, come on, Brett, like that type of thing, and it's. It's why it's important to go, and you're like, Texas was kind of garbage.
They were not good.
They were not
and
a good team.
You got to go back.
They were not good.
You got to go back and watch and be like, okay, because if you're looking at yards per attempt or things like, why what happened? Like, if there's instances like that, I think it goes back. You know, you got to kind of really go back and watch and see what's happening. It's what DJ was talking about on their podcast or on Total Access or something, where he was like, yeah, third and six throws, like how they face in certain situations, which tells a lot more. There was I think it was the Notre Dame quarterback. There was a play where it like bounces off. Like, oh, he's saying, look at the interceptions, where it bounces off some dude's hands.
Right. Into an defender's.
Yeah.
A perfect throw, but, you know,
like,
the interception's not on him. Right. In terms of Deontay Freeman, the last thing I'll say about him is the tape that I've seen, great big back, good speed. He's a little, you know, he allows defenders to come into the body. That's kind of where I am concerned. I don't know if he can get away with that at the next level, but it's a big question because he is 250 pounds.
Right.
And he's a big
It's like
beast.
He's never been scared of contact because he's
That's
been
what
bigger
it is.
Than everybody.
Right. That's what it is. Where Christian McCaffrey does a great job stiff-arming guys and creating just enough separation to break out of that tackle, Deontay Foreman is the type of dude that will allow defenders into his body and then just shed him with leg power.
Yeah.
But, you know, will that work at the next level? I don't know. We'll see. Samaje Perine is number 7 on Zerline's list. He's out of Oklahoma. Believe it or not, he was actually the backup to Joe Mixon there in Oklahoma. 196 carries, 1,000 yards, 5.4 average. In 2015, he had a bigger workload, 225 carries, 1,300 yards, a 6.0 average. He is a guy, to me, who has a lot to prove at the combine as well. If he runs well, we're talking somewhere in the 4.5s. This is a guy to me that could be an absolute steal in the draft, and I'm really excited to see what he does at the combine.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, that's one of the things you talk about, is just finding these guys that are really going to just jump out at you, like Jordan Howard last year and everything. And when he went to the Bears, I was, you know, over the moon with all that stuff. So he's somebody I like. The Boise State running back,
Jeremy McNichols.
McNichols.
He was Lance's pick for to be this year's Jordan Howard.
Right.
Yeah, I really like. I watched a couple of their guys. You get a lot of those Boise State games on, and you always got to try to balance it out, you know, because the Mountain West. I'll be honest. The Mountain West might not be the best conference. it's very good. Very fun.
It's top heavy.
Sources, Mountain West, not the best conference.
It's very top heavy.
It's getting better.
You've got Boise State and San Diego State near the top.
UNLV getting better with Tony Sanchez.
They're getting better, but it is not. Doesn't have a lot
but
of depth.
But still, there was a couple. But they still play pretty good competition. They play Washington. They play some good teams.
Sure.
And he's been impressive. And again, thankfully, Doug Martin's kind of taken that stigma of the Boise State running back.
Sure.
Am I right? Like, you can't do that anymore. So I think he's got a pretty good opportunity. And again, it all falls down to where he's able to land, who's he going to go by. But I think he's somebody to definitely watch coming into the combine.
The Boise State Bronco, the number 8 running back, according to the great Lance Erline. Number 9 is a character out of the University of South Florida, Marlon Mack, 6'2", 210. Let me tell you guys, I love this kid. He's that.
So we know who's going to run the fastest on running backs.
He is the classic James Coe combine. I love this kid. He's a home run.
I like the stat you put in there. 6 of his 15 touchdowns went for 43 plus yards.
Come on, brother. Come on. I love this kid. He's an absolute home run hitter. Is he an every down guy? I'm not 100% sure, but I do know this. He is an explosive, explosive athlete. Number 10, another small school guy, smallish school guy, Kareem Hunt out of Toledo. This is a kid that's been absolutely.
I love
Kareem Hunt.
Hunt.
There you go. 5'11", 210. Hunt.
I'd seen a lot of hype about him on Twitter, and then I started.
The hype is growing, bro.
I started to watch it. It didn't take me long watching his tape to realize what the hype was about. I mean, literally, he gives you everything that you want. I mean, he's got good balance, agility, good enough speed. You know, he's not a burner. He's not going to necessarily, you know, wow you with his 40 time, but he's got enough speed to be dangerous. He catches the ball. I think everything about him that I saw, I immediately fell in love with, and our friend on Twitter, Rumford Johnny, who does a lot of really good work, hit me up, and he called him kind of a young Frank Gore, and I got heart eyes. You know, I was all heart eye emoji when that happened, because I think this is a guy who is a steal, and I see him there. You know, you have him at number 10 on Lance Erline's top 10.
Right.
I look at him and I feel like if he's the number 10 running back, somebody's going to get a gem.
Sure.
Probably somewhere in day two of the draft.
And this, but he's exactly the guy that he's the kind of player where you're saying, man, if this was another draft, you know what I mean? This is a third round draft pick. But in this year's draft, you could get this guy in round 5, round 6. By the way, the one of the things that people really like about Kareem Hunt is the fact that he's so versatile. He had 41 receptions last year for 403 yards. That's really good. Kareem Hunt is absolutely a nice, versatile weapon. We'll see.
May I say something about Kareem Hunt? I'll be perfectly truthful with you. I didn't see a lot of Toledo games.
How dare you?
The only thing that I... When I hear like somebody like this, I haven't had a chance to go, and I apologize.
Yeah.
I just want to be upfront with everybody. I haven't got a chance to go back and watch some of his games. I'm like, okay, you're in the MAC. What did you do against Western Michigan? Like that's the one marquee team. He blitzed that team for 200 yards.
Pretty good.
And that's one of the things. That's when you're like, okay, I'll take him serious. I'll go back. I'll go down and look. I'm interested to think. Because he didn't have great stats in 2015, but I think – but he's somebody I do definitely want to go take a look at. And these are the kind of guys that always seemed – I hate to say come out of nowhere, but he's like that fifth-round back.
Yeah.
And somebody will be searching for somebody. I'm trying to think of a team – like if Carolina ends up with him or something like that, who could end up coming out and being a very good value. But he's definitely somebody to look for. And, again, this is why I dig the combine. Like I know – it's underwear Olympics, and everybody likes to make fun of it. But, like, this is the cool stuff. Like, to me, this is, like, the cool stuff. And you finding out more about these guys and then going back and watching their games and seeing what's going on. I really want to go back and watch this Western Michigan game. I want to go back and see what was going on. 200 yards against those guys.
The combine is really where we found players like David Johnson and stuff.
That's very
like,
good point. Northern Iowa.
Yeah, you heard stuff about him. But then he blew up the combine. You went and watched his tape, and you're like, wow, this kid might be something if he can learn to be between the tackles and stuff. And
this is not shameless cross-promotion, although it is. But honestly, Mike Mayock, Charles Robinson, the boys there at the I cannot wait to see
– Charles Davis.
Charles Davis, rather. I can't wait – to hear what these guys have to say about guys like Marlon Mack, about guys like Kareem Hunt, because they do sit down and watch hours of film on all these
and
dudes.
DJ and all those guys.
Yeah,
if you were ever in this office and you wanted to lose about an hour of your day, just sit down with DJ or grab him as he's walking past if he's not, you know, going to be in one of his 50 million media appearances and be like, hey, DJ, what do you think about like player X? And then you spiral into a conversation about other guys and other guys.
I cannot wait.
And the amount of information those guys, and it's not all like fake. It's not TV. All that stuff's off the top of their heads and their meticulous notes and stuff.
That is crazy. That's
awesome.
That's the most awesome. Impressive.
I remember there was one time, I think it was 2 years ago, it was on day three of the draft. There was somebody so obscure they didn't even have footage for him right away. But DJ was like, oh, this is so-and-so out of this place, did this or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then they found like a clip on YouTube and then like played it through the network. But DJ was like, yeah, I know this guy. And it was just like unbelievable.
That is, it's pretty dope, man. I can't wait. Hey, let's make a call into the wilderness to get the franchise's take on some of these running backs.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed and dialed.
All right. Let's see if the franchise is available. If he's not, we're going to try the other Matt. See what he's got going on.
Yeah, but does he talk about running backs?
No, he doesn't talk about running backs. But he's done some breakdowns on the guy from West
Virginia. I'm just letting it fly right now. It's ringing for franchise.
Absolutely. I love it. This is the bit.
Hello.
Is the franchise there?
Hey-o.
Hey, we got him.
All right. It's the NFL Fantasy Live Podcast. What's up, pal?
Hey, guys.
Hey, man. We're talking about Combine. We're talking about running backs. I know you've done a bunch of homework on this thing. Hey, can we get your take on Alvin Kamara from Tennessee?
He's one of the dudes I haven't looked at yet, but I know that there's some hype around him being like a first-round guy, and the jury's kind of out on that. I've watched a little bit of film on him, and I just think he's more of like a committee guy than a true feature back.
Thank you for saying that, franchise, because I've watched him a pretty fair amount, and I watched a couple of Tennessee games this year, and everything that I picked up from him was that he was basically the Volunteers' kind of third down pass catching back.
And he was a backup for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they had a lot of different guys run the football. John Kelly got a lot of carries. You know, Josh Dobbs, who was the quarterback, ran. I think he actually led the team in rushing yards last year. Yeah.
Jalen Hurd.
And I just, yeah, Jalen Hurd was there. But every time I saw Kamara, he was just kind of that third down pass catching back. And I just, maybe I'm not looking at the right things. I just don't quite understand how he's so highly rated.
I don't get it. Lance Zierlein and both Lance and Mike Mayock have Kamara in their top five. So
that is, yeah.
And I'm confused. I'm confused by it as well because he was a backup. He had 103 rushes, 596 yards. You know, he had 40 receptions as well, which is pretty good in limited action. But I just, again, seeing what I saw, I don't quite understand, but that's okay. Hey, listen, I do know that you did a nice write-up on this kid out of BYU, Jamal Williams. Can you give us a lowdown on him?
Yeah, I like him. He's kind of got it all. He's got everything you want. He's got power. It basically takes an army to bring him down. Like, his toughness was amazing. And he can catch the ball, too. And I started watching film on some of the lesser known guys. I like to work my way up and like treat myself to the Fournettes of the world.
There you go. Okay.
But just from seeing Williams, like the only weakness I really saw is like his top end speed. There were a few like breakaway runs where some guys caught up to him.
Okay.
So I'm just really curious to see how he does at Combine and like see what his 40 time is, because I think that will be a very telling as to where he might be looked at in the draft. I mean, he's probably going to be a value for any team that takes him.
Okay.
I think he's looking at like a third round pick, but I think he has what it takes to be a three down back in the NFL for sure.
Do you think he's a little stiff? I kind of read Jamal Williams as more of a, you know, between the tackles grinder, that if you wanted to get 3 yards, if you wanted to get that short yardage area, Jamal Williams is your guy. Again, you talk about that lack of top-end speed. I just didn't see a lot of wiggle either. Was that a concern of yours?
I mean, I was just kind of blown away by his toughness and his ability to break tackles and just kind of stay on his feet when guys are coming at him.
So yep, makes sense.
Most of what I saw was positive about him, and I don't think the other knock on a lot of these kids coming out of college is their ball security issues, and that was one of his strengths too, so.
I don't think he. I don't know. Did he? Really did he give it up? I don't even know if he gave it up at all in 2016. Did he?
I don't think. I forget what the number was in my article. I think maybe 4 fumbles his entire college career.
That's amazing.
So.
That's amazing. That's pretty good stuff. Any other lesser known running backs? Some deep guys that we should know about?
I'm not that deep yet. I'm looking at Dante Foreman. I don't even know how to say
Deontay
his first name.
Foreman out of Texas. Give me the lowdown on Foreman.
Oh, well, he's huge. He's almost weighs 250 pounds, which is about what Derrick Henry weighs coming out of school, but he's like a couple inches shorter, so he's more compact. He's got really thick legs. and good power. And for a guy his size, his feet are really quick, and he has surprising long speed too. So he's another guy who I'll be watching his 40 time closely. But he's definitely the one thing about Foreman is he doesn't catch the ball. I think he had 7 receptions last season, so he's not going to be like a 3-down guy who stays in on passing down. But he's going to be a good goal line, like power type, early down banger type guy.
Absolutely love it. Before we let you go, give me a daily dap.
The new Electric Guest album. I don't know if you guys know about this band, but it's basically like two guys, and they put an album out like 3 or 4 years ago that Danger Mouse produced, and it was really good, and we hadn't heard from them since. And they just put a new one out last week that I'm really in love with. I think the song I like most is called Devil, so check that out. The band is Electric Guest.
You said Danger Mouse, and James and I both perked up
immediately. Yes. Like, oh, okay. I'm in. I'm into that.
Is that a Simpsons reference?
It is not a Simpsons. Although
I'm Danger Mouse, but I'm a dog.
I absolutely love it. It's the great Matt Franciscovich. Follow him at Matt Franchise. You can read some of his work online as well. I thought, come on. I mean, for reals, though, I thought you were going to daily dap Katy Perry. Come on, bro. I know where you're at. I follow you on Twitter. I know what's up.
Hey, she paid my bills for about 4 years of my life, so I had to give it up to her. You know?
There you go. Matt Franchise, the bearded one, the magical beard of fantasy, and one of the great Matts of the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. Hey, man, I appreciate you taking our phone call, pal.
We'll catch you later, Franchise.
Thanks for making sure my heart is still beating, guys.
There you go. Catch you later,
right,
man.
Later.
Oh, that was great. All right, let's round out the show with your daily daps.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
This is the daily
daps and hugs. Give me daps, because I be scribbling right.
Give me dapping up, daps about, daps up.
All right, daily dap time. We start with the whiz kid from Wisconsin, Alex Gelhar. What's up?
I've got two. I'm trying to make them both brief since we've had a jam-packed show, and I'm sure Rank has numerous daily daps today.
I don't have that many.
Oh, that's good. That's good. It's probably only 3 or 4. First daily dap goes out to J.K. Rowling for 2 reasons. One, I have been itching to reread the Harry Potter series, and I haven't done it in probably over a decade, so I stole the book off of our neighbor's shelf, and I powered through the first one in a couple days. It was fantastic reread that. And she's just been owning fools on Twitter recently.
She has. Piers Morgan. Sorry, bro.
Yeah, Piers Morgan trolls and her mentions and things like that. It's been very entertaining to watch. Second daily dap goes out to a movie coming out this weekend called Get Out. I saw it last night in an early screening. It is like a horror thriller movie written by Jordan Peele, who is half of Key and Peele, the comedy duo.
Really?
The movie is awesome.
Really?
It was phenomenal. It was a great like horror thriller. It's got some biting, kind of social commentary in it. And there are also just some flat-out hilarious scenes in it, too. It's not like, wouldn't bill it as a horror comedy, but there's a lot of great laugh-inducing moments and some good shocks and twists and a really cool idea. And it was just an awesome movie. It's sitting at 100% on Rotten Tomatoes right now.
Wow.
Whoa.
But if you go see one movie this weekend, I would make it Get Out.
Wow. Okay, good. Has he created a new genre of movies called horcom? Right? I guess that one really wouldn't work too well.
Horcom.
Horcom.
I guess that really...
No, I mean, there are horror...
I have to clear my history every time.
That doesn't work out too good.
I mean, there are horror comedy. I mean, Scream technically was a
Scream was a horror comedy. I mean, you could say like Shaun of the Dead was in that ilk. And
Vincent Price has a long list of horror comedies on his resume.
But no, Get Out is awesome. Go see it and then tweet me what you thought about it.
Okay, I like it. Will it go to my guy MG Marcus Grant? What's up?
I want a daily dap. I think I've mentioned it on this podcast before, but Paper Girls, comic book, Volume 2. I just finished reading it. It came out a couple months ago, and I was backed up, so I finally got around to reading it over the weekend.
Okay.
And Volume 2 picks up where Volume 1 leads off, but it is. It's still a great. It's a great book. It basically think of it as it's kind of Stranger Things, except it's 4 young girls. But it's starting to kind of cross over into sort of Back to the Future type territory as well. A lot of, timelines and parallel universes and that whole thing. But at the same time, these girls are kind of, they're all 11, 12, 13 years old fighting aliens, growing up, meeting their future selves in the future as well. It's amazing. So Go pick it up. The first two volumes are out. It's written by Brian K. Vaughan, who also writes Saga, which...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know how much you love Saga, Alex. So, yeah, definitely. Go check it out.
All right. I will give Daily Daps out to Capital Cities, the band. They got their new song out called Vowels, which I think is really highly entertaining. And it kind of inspired me to go back and check out their other album from, I think it was 2013. It's called A Tidal Wave of Mystery. The one of the popular tracks off of that was Safe and Sound.
Sounds like a Matt Harmon favorite, a Tidal Wave of Mystery. Just based purely on name.
Capital Cities, go check them out. They're all over Spotify. But I love their new single. It was taped in downtown Los Angeles in the Jewelry District. But it's just a funny music video, so go check it out. I'll also give a Daily Daps out to this anime that I'm watching off of Netflix called Ajin, Demi-Human, which is, I don't know, basically...
How do you spell it?
A-J-I-N.
Okay.
A-J-I-N on Netflix. Go check it out. Pretty good concept for the anime, which is basically it's set in current times. There's a subsect of Demi-Human people who... It's a lot like Highlander, actually, where you have to die first to find out if you're immortal.
Right.
That's a really crappy way to figure out if you're immortal, right? Because if you're wrong.
Right. But the point is that once you are discovered to be an Ajin, the government will snatch you up and do horrible experimentations on you.
This is a no-win situation. Either you're dead or you're getting experimented on.
That's exactly right. So now there's an Ajin revolution, blah, 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 blah. Anyways, whatever. Go check it out. It's on Netflix. All right, we turn it over to Adam Rank. Give me a Daily Dap, kid.
I'm going to Daily Dap NASA.
NASA?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, they found a couple new planets.
Oh. Yeah, science.
All right.
Yeah, in your face. Deniers.
deniers.
The question is, does Kyrie Irving believe these planets are round?
No. Yeah, round or flat?
Round.
That's
or
the real
they're
question.
They're all flat planets, obviously, bro.
Obviously, yeah. Kyrie Irving is trolling everybody.
Yes.
I love him. Yeah. That makes me, even though he's a dookie, I like him even more. I will Daily Dap Harkin Theaters because they have those sweet things with a bar, reclinable seats, because I wanted to go make sure that I saw Rogue One one last time in the movie theater before it's probably going to be going away. I don't know. I anticipate. Oh, maybe Downtown Disney will have it forever. But whatever. Went an enjoyable experience. You know what's funny is in all my rewatchings of Rogue One, I think I like it more.
Yeah.
Now every time, and it's still like it breezes through. You're like, gosh, I can't believe like we're almost here. Like there's really like no
dead spots.
No dead spots. It's all amazing. All of it is, it's really so well done. I almost want to retire from Star Wars. I almost are like, because like the new Han Solo one, the young Han Solo one just started production or filming this week.
And
it's
scared.
Like, you know what? Let's stop. Like Rogue One was perfect.
Okay.
Let's make sure 8's good. And then we'll anticipate. Although looking at the photo for the Han Solo one, it's great to see Danny Glover there.
Donald Glover?
Donald Glover.
Yeah.
Great to see him as the young Lando. The young Harrison Ford, the young Han Solo, I'm not so sure. I'm like, I don't know how I feel
like,
about him.
I feel like, going off of your Rogue One thing, I feel like we're 5 years away from just a full CGI movie.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, where everyone's just, it's just going to be a young Harrison Ford CGI'd.
It doesn't.
Young Leia CGI'd.
By the way, should we pray for old Harrison Ford? Because...
dudes crash landing places?
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of a problem.
I know.
Negative Ghost Rider, that pattern is full. That's not cool because that's one of the airports I fly out of.
It's kind of a problem.
John Wayne Airport down there in Santa Ana, California.
It's not cool. No, it's all jokes. It's all fun and games.
No, dude. Like
right now because nobody was, you know, hurt. But no, Marcus, I think you're on to something.
No, I mean, seriously.
Really, though.
I tweeted about it. I mean, we get to a point
where... We
take away senior citizens' driver's licenses from them when we feel like they're a danger.
Right.
We're talking about a man who's 74 years old who's having problems flying an airplane.
Yes.
That's
not cool.
He crashed landed on a golf course 2 years ago.
Right.
Our own Andrew Siciliano was there to document the whole thing.
That was
Intrepid Journal out on the back nine. There's a plane crash. It's like, I should take some pics.
But that was engine failure, right? Like he had to dump it.
I think he was trying to get to Santa Monica Airport, which wasn't far from there, but he put it down on the fairway instead.
Like, and it's a small golf course.
It's a small par three course.
He landed on the par three?
No, it's a par 30. Like, it's nine holes, but it adds up to like.
No, no, but that's what I'm saying. He landed on a par 3 course?
Basically, yeah.
That's amazing.
That's even more impressive. So maybe he should keep it.
Oh.
But okay. shouldn't you have age limits for that? Like, yeah, like, you can't drive till you're 16, but you can't fly once you're 74. Like,
okay.
You're done.
Fair enough.
Or whatever. Although, you know. So also, you know what else was big this week?
What's up?
Dabs to the Lakers.
Oh, yeah.
Finally doing the right thing.
Okay, got rid of
Finally got rid of Jim Buss. I guess Mitch had to go.
Yeah.
You bring back MJ. It's all good.
Okay. Not Michael Jordan. Okay.
Or Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Or Michael MJ is Magic Johnson.
Oh, I see.
All right.
MJ, am I wrong?
Yeah, I think you're wrong.
Look, don't get me started on this. I have a whole different
department.
What do you mean?
Nobody take Rank's troll bait. This show's already over an hour.
Let me tell you something. Because when people say MJ's the best of all time.
Oh, what a great show we had today. Thank you for wrestling.
We appreciate you, Lance
Zuerlein. A beautiful show today.
Stop the show.
Next week, we will get you an episode.
Talking about the combine quarterbacks
and the combine wide receivers. Matt Harmon will be part of the program
then.
Alex Gelhar, MG, my guy Marcus Grant, Adam Ray.
Won 10 NBA
titles. I'm James Coe.
But the fake news ESPN doesn't cover.